T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Taking you back to more Willie P on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Willie P is here with about 90 minutes more to go on a Saturday explosion program. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this day after Christmas. You can always catch us on radio.com. Also, if anything you missed in our program earlier on, you can do so by, you can catch it, by the way, by going to the radio.com app and hitting rewind. Get your favorite segments and anything you might have missed, including our conversation with Mike Griffith of Dog Nation. By the way, the Lion-Bucks game is now basically only appealing to people who were like me and attended the University of Missouri between the years of 2005 through 2010, because it is Blaine Gabbert versus Chase Daniel right now, because Brady's on the bench. Gabbert's in there for Brady, and Stafford got hurt, so Chase Daniel is playing quarterback for Detroit. Let it all hang out, guys, because we're the only ones watching our Mizzou guys at this point. I don't even think that actual Bucks fans are watching this game anymore, because it's a walkover in the Motor City. Time now to head to the WadeFord.com hotline. Speaking of walkovers, we had quite a walkover with the Hawks beating the Bulls by 20. It wasn't even that close on Wednesday night in our opening game. Now joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline is our own Caleb Johnson, our Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Hawks reporter starting this season, and he joins us to talk about the Hawks who played tonight in Memphis. Caleb, I know I thought that we'd have more offense than we did to begin this season, but I wasn't sure what to expect. How eye-opening was that opening result to you?
Definitely eye-opening, just because, I guess, based on You knew the Hawks were going to have offense this season. You knew that was out of the concerns that are going to be had for this team. You knew offense wasn't it. However, I think it was just the efficiency that the Hawks were able to shoot against the Bulls, which may have said more about the Bulls than the Hawks, but it's fun to watch.
My biggest concern still remains on the defensive side of things. I saw more situational awareness defensively. I saw hands in the passing lanes. I feel like a lot that had to do with the 104-point score was the fact that you had scrubs playing in the fourth quarter and the Hawks took their foot off the gas. Did you see enough first fruits defensively? And I'm sure it'll get better once Chris Dunn gets on. Did you see enough defensively to at least show you that this team has taken a step forward in that category?
They've definitely taken a step forward, you know, from last season. I mean, there's been so many different ways that they've taken a step forward since last season, just improving the roster. But as far as defensively, yeah, I think it was one of those things where you saw Trey get in there and stick his hand in place, you know, diving for the ball and trying to pick pockets and that sort of thing that you maybe wouldn't have seen so much a year ago. And I think it's partly the Hawks hearing how bad they were defensively and Trey hearing how bad he was defensively a year ago, and also just improving the roster and some of these guys who were rookies a year ago getting more experience. I mean, it's DeAndre Hunter. Look, he was brought in to play defense, and he's so far stepped up pretty well this year. Cam Reddish was another guy who you knew what his defensive abilities were. Now if we can just get the big guys healthy so that they can, you know, so the defense can pick up within the paint.
Yeah, the paint defense still is something that is a work in progress. Again, a lot of that having to do with Capella not being on the floor. He won't be on the floor tonight for the Hawks in Memphis. But Caleb, the guy who will be on the floor that I'm most looking forward to making his actual Hawks debut in the regular season is Rajon Rondo. I think that was one of the additions this offseason that had people very excited because we all know what he does in the postseason, but he's going to have a big impact on the tutelage of Trey and these other young players. How much have you heard the players talk about what he has brought in just his short time here?
You know, it's so funny. Every time you go to talk to a young or younger Hawks player, which seems like so many of them, these young guys keep bringing up Rajon Rondo's name, whether it's just what they've learned in practice, being able to work with him, or guy after guy after guy has continued to talk about when Rondo is available, at least to just be on the sideline. He's Coach Rondo. He's continued to add his input and coach up these younger guys. That is just, it's seeming to make an impact. And I think it's not only making an impact by helping the younger guys, and I mean, I say younger guys, I include Trey in that conversation of these younger guys who it not only helps them learn things, but I think it gives them a sense of comfort that they can be on the sidelines and have a guy who, I mean, he's been there. He's won championships recently to that, and he can tell them what to look for and just boost their confidence that they're playing their game the best way. I knew he was going to be a quality asset when the Hawks brought him in. I just didn't see so much of this coach aspect that he's brought on since he's been here, and that might end up making more of an impact than he actually will on the court.
Almost similar to what Vince Carter brought to this group over the last couple of years as well, as a vested veteran who was not only being a tutelage type guy inside this young locker room. Caleb Johnson joining us here, our Hawks reporter. Hawks play tonight against Memphis. You'll hear it on Sports Radio 99 The Game with the pregame coverage at 4:30, tip time at 5. More on the game in a moment. I did want to ask you one more in relation to John Collins. I think we all weren't surprised that the Hawks failed to come to a number when it comes to an extension on him. What have you noticed from him and how he's handled that aspect of it? And number two, what do you think you expect for him as far as his Hawks future? Do you feel like he can put forth a performance this year that warrants a short-term extension or at least some sort of good faith measure to keep him on this roster beyond 2021?
Look, when it comes to John Collins, he's one of those guys, being a media member in those press conferences with him. Of course, now everything's on Zoom. He's always coming in, high spirits, really positive, always has some jokes to throw around. He's so good at hyping up his teammates and talking them up in press conferences. And so it's one of those situations where I really like John Collins in that aspect. Also on the court, yeah, he's been the 20-10 guy that has been talked about so much. However, I think the situation with John Collins, the reason why he didn't get the contract extension this time is because he's just not maybe that superstar. Like, he is a quality player. He is a great guy to have on your team, but I think the Hawks are going to give it this year to weigh their options and to see, is maybe there a bigger name out there who can bring more to this team than what John Collins does? Or if it's not there, then hey, we're going to pay him. But I think it was just, I want to say that front office has just got to wonder, maybe there's something better out there. And if not, we'll wait and see. But I mean, they'll still be able to match whatever, if someone puts an offer out there at the end of the season. Kind of, it's a very similar situation what happened with Bogey and the Kings, in that the Kings could have matched or could have made a sign and trade situation. However, with Collins, it's just, it's going to be a wait and see approach. It's not going to become a big deal for him because he's just a very mature individual. And I know he wanted to take care of it before the season started, obviously, but now that it didn't happen, it's not going to be one of those things that lingers for him personally. Whether or not he gets asked about it a lot is a separate story. He's going to handle himself well, and I think he's going to play well for the Hawks. That's what he's done since he's been here. He's had a couple of issues. You know, obviously the suspension last year didn't help, but it really, in my opinion, it opened Travis Schlenk's eyes to a wait-and-see approach.
Talking with Caleb Johnson, our 9-9 The Game Hawks reporter. Hawks in Memphis tonight. Still a bunch of guys not with us. No Chris Dunn, no Onyeka Okongwu, no Tony Snell. Danilo Gallinari is questionable, as is Brandon Goodwin. Your best guess of what we see tonight? I know we saw this team twice in the preseason with mixed results.
Yeah, I think Lloyd Pierce pointed it out earlier that with Memphis, you're going to get a scrappy team. I think there is that mismatch with the fact of what Valanciunas can bring for Memphis, but you saw Memphis come out against San Antonio, which is a team that I don't think is that great in the West, and the Spurs, you know, kind of took it to them a bit. So I expect another scrappy performance. We're obviously going to see the big highlights from Ja Morant, big highlights from Trae Young. Both of those guys are still going to go for big points. Obviously Morant going for 40 in that game, Trae Young going for 37 against Chicago. These guys are going to get their points. I'm just worried, I guess, with Capella being out, with no Gallinari possibly in this one, that's going to make a big difference. That inside presence for the Hawks really not going to be there, and that could be a mismatch that causes issues that could swing in the Grizzlies' way.
Caleb Johnson, you hear him on the updates, and you'll start to hear him a lot more over the course of the next couple of weeks and months as our Hawks 92.9 The Game reporter. Great job as always, pal. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, man.
That's Caleb Johnson joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Hawks and Memphis. 4:30 pre, 5 p.m. tip time from Memphis, Tennessee. We'll come back, talk some Falcons, hear from the voice of the Falcons, Wes Durham, about our chances tomorrow against the defending champs on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com.
Here's more Willie P on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time really flies when you're having fun on a Saturday after Christmas. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. About an hour from right now, we'll have Hawks pregame against Memphis Grizzlies. Tomorrow, we'll, of course, have the Falcons taking on the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. Atlanta will do so without four starters out of the lineup because of injury. No Julio Jones, still nagging that hamstring. Also, James Carpenter at left guard, he will not play as well. He's been dealing with a groin injury the past couple of weeks. Also, Alex Mack will not play. Concussion-like symptoms, he will not play this weekend. That means the rookie Matt Hennessy will start in his place. Justin McCray will start at left guard. Darqueze Dennard also will not play. He's been dealing with a nagging injury as well. Looks like more Isaiah Oliver as the slot corner. Three guys questionable: Marlon Davidson, Brandon Powell, Ricardo Allen, all questionable to play this weekend against Kansas City. Man who is the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham, joined myself and Carl Dukes earlier this week on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We asked him at that time whether or not Julio Jones should play the rest of the season. He believes that number 11 is still a hard guy to hold out, even if it's in the best interest of the franchise.
Well, I think you trust a guy with nearly 850 catches and, almost 13,000 yards to say, hey, if you want to go ahead and go, because I think he's committed to the product, right? I mean, I think he's a guy that he's a pillar of your franchise. I know a lot of discussion's been talked about the money and where we are financially with this whole deal, Carl, but I would say if the guy's interested in going, you have no reason to believe he wouldn't give you his absolute best. He tried to go earlier in the year. We remember that sequence, right, where, yep, you know, he was only able to go a half and that kind of thing. So I think if he says he wants to go, you let him go. I don't think there's any you don't hold up on a guy like 11 because he's a difference maker every time he steps on the field. And if he feels like it's something he wants to do, then I'd say absolutely let him go.
Wes, how do you analyze or reconcile the organizational conflict right now that exists when it comes to Raheem Morris wanting to win games to either make himself look good for this job or others, and of course where the organization sits right now, where they got to have some answers to questions on guys who may or may not have been contributors earlier on in the season, because you just got to see what you have in some guys.
Well, and I think that also goes back to the process that Mr. Blank and Rich are going through, trying to decide, you know, in collaboration with Steve Cannon and others who are going to be involved in, who do you want to lead the organization, right? I think you got to try and present the best hand of cards to whoever you're going to hire, because, you know, just like I think we'd all agree, every candidate, be it the GM or the head coach, is probably going to be a little different, right? And you want to be able to and let them interpret the same hand of cards. So, yeah, you've got to make some decisions. And certainly Mr. Blank, as the owner and chairman, gets the final voice on all those decisions. So I think there is a little bit of conflict there. Now, it can be smooth or it can be turbulent. It depends on really how you want to go about this. But I think Atlanta's got enough pieces. And, Carl, that's the one thing we talked about, how good the job might be compared to, say, Houston or wherever, Jacksonville now, like Carolina, which is now open, that kind of thing. I think that's what Atlanta has to do. Not only to the point about Raheem being a candidate, but you're looking at not just a next year hire, you're looking at a 5 to 10 year hire. And I think that's where it gets tricky, to be honest. And that's the part where you got to rely on people with great football experience like Rich, and certainly the business acumen that Mr. Blank and Steve Cannon and some of the other folks have too.
Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, getting ready for the Chiefs. I mean, you know, we'd be silly to sit here and go, they're a very good team. Wes, you know, we know that, right?
Yeah. That about covers it, Carl. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not the best in the business for nothing.
That's right.
You know,
no wonder you've been so successful with the acute analysis. There we go.
Well, you know, but it's easy. Like this week, and I'm talking to a couple of buddies of mine, and this may have happened to you around the country, and they're like, blowout. I mean, people are expecting us to get blown out in this game.
Oh,
no, it's
sure.
It's the NFL. I don't know if that's going to happen, but what do you see when you watch and your research about the Chiefs as you get ready for this game on Sunday?
Well, first of all, they're more than the guy at the cube, right? I mean, the quarterback is sensational. We all know that. But you've also got to look at kind of how good they are up front and how they, you know, Tardif Durinay, the guy who steps away for a year because he's committed to his medicine, is a guy who's a really good player and let Allegretta's come in and played really well for him at the left guard spot. I mean, you know, you start looking at just little things like that. It's kind of interesting for me to look down their roster and you see, oh, by the way, Tyreek Hill lights it up. He's got 85 catches on the year. Oh, yeah, there's Sammy Watkins. Oh, yeah, there's Nicole Hartman. Oh, yeah, there's, you know, Le'Veon Bell's on this team? Oh, damn. You know, I mean, that's the heart. Travis Kelce, he's got almost 100 catches. Oh, wait a second. You know, that's the thing that kind of gets you when you look at them. And then you kind of forget after you get around the offensive explosion, you go, oh, wait a second. Frank Clark's there. I remember Alex Okafor when he came out of Texas and played in New Orleans. I remember – you know, kind of some of these guys. Oh, Tyrann Mathieu's there. Oh, wait a second. How many picks does he have? 6. Okay. You know, they're a full football team. That's the thing that gets you. And we've seen a full football team. I mean, we've seen New Orleans. They're pretty good, right? But Kansas City may be, and last week were, better. How does Atlanta play that? And is this a one-off or is this, you know, gain 15 in a 16-game season that goes 17 weeks? I think you're going to get Atlanta's best effort. Is that going to be good enough? If it's perfect, yes. If you score touchdowns and don't kick field goals, if you hold on to the football, if you don't have, you know, a bunch of penalties, if you try and play as clean as possible really on both sides. I think it's also a game, too, where you can file a report on progress. You know, A.J. Terrell has kind of seen some guys here now the last few weeks, right? Let's be honest.
Yes.
He's seen some cats. So you know, he ought to be, let's see what happens with Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins or Hardman or whatever the case may be. How does Foye Oluokun handle the matchup that might involve a Travis Kelce? Has he gotten better in some of those deals? I mean, that's the part about this where I think you've got to look at maybe where your progress is made. And then I'll go back to the hand of cards. You know, whose card's gotten a little more valuable in your hand this year than maybe when you started the season? That's the kind of thing I think you're looking for. If you're going to get caught up in the blowout or things of that nature, I think that's the wrong plan. You want to win the game. Everybody understands that. But you've also got to keep grinding here. Look, Matt bounced back, had a great ball game last week. Was it enough? No, didn't win the game. But where is Matt Ryan bounced back? He didn't let the performance in L.A. against the Chargers stand pat. He came back and showed you that he still can be one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League. I thought that was important in terms of the team landscape, too, Carl.
Falcons radio voice Wes Durham joining us here on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as the Falcons get ready for the defending champion Chiefs. You know, Wes, looking at the game from the vantage point that you guys get to that makes guys like Carl and I jealous, I'm wondering how you decipher our issues with the running game. Is it more about the talent that is or isn't in the backfield, or is it about how we're blocking it?
I think it's a combination of both, and I think the edict this week about Ito Smith tells you what you need to know. I think you have found somebody who, you know, Raheem Morris, at least in his interim status for the time being, trusts to carry the football. And I think that's probably something that, you know, given kind of the way the climate has been running the ball the last 3 weeks, Carl, I think we talked about this with you last week or the week before. He's giving you the best chance, you know? I mean, he's clearly giving you the best chance. Is that because of what he's doing specifically, or is he just able to, you know, move faster through the breaks that have occurred and what you're trying to do in the line? We got to find out what the situation is there. And that, in my opinion, which means nothing in this process, I think that's where some of the harder decisions may potentially have to be made about where this team's going. This is what, Carl, 3 straight years.
Yep.
We really haven't been able to run it effectively. You're just going to have to find a way to run the football if you want to protect your quarterback and, you know, keep the value of your wide receiver in this process that we're getting ready to go through. And this is a process we're getting ready to go through. I don't think anybody, you know, I think what is the mock says we're picking 5th this week. Is that right, the way it all sets up?
It is right now.
Yeah, you can look at this any way you want to, but I think you've got to seriously look at kind of where the offensive line is and who do you think you can go with in the future. And look, you got Alex Mack, who's a 12-year guy who's, you know, potentially a Hall of Fame candidate at center. You've got some guys who you've drafted, who you've invested in. But you got to get this part fixed. And I think we all understand that. And anybody that's watched this team play this year for sure, and maybe in the previous two, knows that this is the part that's probably been as frustrating as anything else. I mean, we talk, Mike especially gets caught up in quarterback sacks and pressures and things like that. And those are certainly important. But we got to be able to run the football. Because the best teams that we've had here, at least in the 17 years I've been a part of it, have been when we've been able to run the football and allow the quarterback then to throw or do whatever they need to do in the air.
Voice of our Atlanta Falcons, who joined Carl Dukes and me earlier this week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, a bowl game of local interest about to kick off, and also, how motivated are the Georgia Bulldogs to be playing in Atlanta against Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl? Comes your way next. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 93.9 The Game at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.